Hey, Brother Reed. Get in here.
Oh, what's the good word, Pastor Andrew?
The only good word is the word of this story. It's a story joke.
You got me.
We'll write that down. We'll workshop it. No. But seriously, get in here and check this out. I diverted Patreon funds to hook us up with this sweet break room.
Whoa! It's got a fridge and, ooh, air conditioning and whoa. A crow machine.
Since we're all locked down, I thought I'd give us a nice space to sit back and plump down.
Oh, well, let me give us a little. Oh, this crow-a comes out a boiling hot. Yeah, that's a good crow.
Oh, wow, now that's refreshing. Oh, it hurts to drink. Oh.
Hey, guys.
The fuck you want, Devin?
Whoa, oh my story. You renovated my shed. Is that a Crow-Crow machine? Guys, this is the nicest...
Hold on just a second there, Professor. Yes, we renovated your shed, and I piled it high with all the fixins.
Now, Devin, what you are looking at is the best break room this side of the Story Celebrity Center.
Break room?
This ain't your shed, Namar, partner. Take a look at our sign.
Oh, no. The No Devin's Memorial Break Room?
Yeah, I thought it had a real spicy ring to it.
Where will I sleep?
I mean,
I completely forgot about that.
Shit. Hey, Brother Reed. No. Okay. No. Never mind. That won't work. No.
Well, I think I'd say we got ourselves a bit of a noggin scratcher. How about we take a quick story break and come back after a nice think?
Yeah, whatever you guys say. It'll be nice to sit around in the air conditioning and hear a story at least.
Take a look at this sign.
You know what? How about this? You sit outside with your ear to the door, just hovering by the crack, and maybe, just maybe, you'll hear some of the words.
But that's not even...
Okay, pop a squat in the dirt there, partner. Okay? We need to get our story on. Got it? This story is called I Seen Locusts Out Back by Pants. Helen laid in the dusty yellow grass staring at the clouds. Thunderheads like mountains crawled across the Kansas sky, taking on all manner of shapes. A witch's hat transformed into a bassinet as it blocked out the sun and cast Helen in momentary darkness before disappearing in silence across the plains. She rolled onto her side and a hard object poked her in the ribs. She pulled it out from under her and inspected it. It was an arrowhead, its edges long dulled under a century of rain and a decade of dust storms. A rush of excitement stirred in her chest, and she sat up. She spat on the arrowhead and rubbed away the dirt. Shiny black obsidian glinted in the sunlight, burning an afterimage when she blinked.
"This might be the only birthday gift you get today, Helen Walsh,"
she whispered to herself. Today she turns 12 years old. Helen looked over the dying foot-high grass and saw a big trail of dust like a squirrel's tail following an approaching olive-green sedan. The car turned from the dust road up the path that led to her sagging home a few hundred yards away. As it passed, She saw a white 5-point star painted on the side. It stopped in front of her house. The cloud of dust caught up with the car and blew over it onto the front porch. A man in military dress got out of the driver's side door and padded off his legs. He rested his arms on his hips akimbo and surveyed the dead prairie. Helen sunk down and peeked through the grass. A locust landed on her shoulder with a light tap. She flinched and it sprung away. The man reached into the car and took out an American flag folded into a triangle. Another man got out of the passenger side door, his bald head just barely peeking over the roof of the car. The man in uniform said something unintelligible, his voice swept away in the wind. The men walked up to the front door and knocked. Helen's mother opened the screen door and let them in. Helen stood and cupped her hands on her forehead to shield her eyes from the sun when she saw her mother rush out of the house and urgently ring the dinner bell. Its piercing clang rolled over the plains.
Helen? Helen?
Her cries were a muted whisper by the time they reached Helen.
Mama?
Helen shouted back. Her mother frantically waved for her to come in. Helen put the arrowhead in her dress pocket and rubbed it with her thumb for good luck. She waded through the grass, walked around the sedan, and up the porch steps. Her mother's eyes were splotchy red with tears and wet snot clung to her upper lip. She opened her mouth to speak, but no words came. She held the door open for Helen. Helen went inside, and her mother firmly put her arm on Helen's back to guide her into the parlor. The man in military dress sat up and straightened his jacket, clutching the folded flag under his arm. Multicolor patches covered his left breast, and a purple heart hung over his chest pocket. The man next to him sat up with effort, lightly moaning in arthritic pain. He wore a black suit and a black shirt with a white Roman collar. The soldier cleared his throat and approached Helen.
Miss Helen Walsh.
Helen's ears went hot, and she felt a tickle in her throat. She nodded. The soldier slowly dropped to one knee and held out the flag with both hands.
The Secretary of War desires me to express his deepest sympathy for the loss of your son, Francis Walsh, on June 13, 1944. He died heroically in Carentan, France, protecting his brothers in arms in the name of freedom for the United States of America.
Helen's mother let out a pathetic wail and fell onto the couch. The chaplain grimaced and took the seat next to her. He reluctantly held her hand in comfort. Helen gave the room a confused frown. The officer sighed and extended his arms.
Please, accept this flag on behalf of the United States of America.
Helen didn't move.
Mister, there's gotta be a mistake,
she said to the officer.
We know this is hard, sweetheart.
The chaplain wheezed from the couch.
Sir, I'm 12 years old,
said Helen.
I don't got no son.
It's truly a shame to lose a son at such a young age, ma'am. I can't imagine how difficult this must be for you. You and Francis will forever be united by your shared sacrifice for our great nation.
He pushed the flag closer to Helen, prompting her to take it.
Oh, Frankie! Little Frankie! Oh, it's not fair!
Her mother cried from the couch.
Mama, we don't know no Frankie,
Helen said over her shoulder. Her mother let out a dramatic gasp and passed out against the side of the couch. The chaplain rolled his eyes and licked his dry lips.
Ma'am, please take this flag so I can get your mother a glass of water.
Helen took the flag and held it against her chest. Panic swelled in her throat as she slowly stepped back against the wall. Helen's head swam as the officer entered the room and rubbed her mother's shoulders to wake her up. She opened her eyes and stared off at nothing. The officer nodded to the chaplain, who clenched his teeth as he stood. His knees let out a wet pop, and he winced. The officer straightened his jacket with his palms and looked at Helen.
A formal letter will follow in the next few days. The nation stands behind you during these dark times. I'm so sorry for your loss.
He waited for Helen to speak, but she said nothing. The men exchanged a look and slowly walked out of the house. Helen crept to the window and put her face against the glass as the men approached the car.
Four more and we can call it a day,
the officer said to the chaplain. The chaplain wiped the sweat from his brow and rubbed his pants.
Shit,
he groaned. They got into the car and drove away in a growing cloud of dust. Locusts leapt out of the way as it barreled down the road. Helen backed away from the window and sat cross-legged on the floor. She held the flag in her lap and examined the stitching on the stars.
Mama, what's going on? Frankie, your poor Frankie,
her mother whispered in a trance. The back door creaked open. Heavy footsteps approached the parlor. Her father's sallow face peeked into the room. His eyes betrayed a light tinge of jaundice. 5 days of stubble crawled across his cheeks and throat.
Frankie's been killed,
Helen's mother said flatly. He grunted and rested his forearm against the wall.
I seen locusts out back.
He turned and slowly clomped up the stairs. The floorboards creaked. Helen put the flag on the rug and reached into her pocket to rub the arrowhead.
Don't let that flag touch the ground,
her mother said. She rolled over, turning her back to her daughter. Helen laid in bed and stared at the ceiling. Winds lapped around the house with a hollow moan. At odd intervals, sharp tick-ticks tapped off the window as locusts bounced off the glass. Dust hung in the air, caught in the evening light. Her eyes and throat were dry from crying. Her head felt big and empty, and her chest swarmed with panic.
This just can't be,
she whispered aloud to hear her own voice. She was 9 when the war started and hadn't so much as held hands with a boy, let alone seen one on account of the school's closing due to the dust storms. No brothers, no sisters, no aunts or uncles. Her family was all alone on the plains of Kansas, a good 30 miles from the nearest house and even farther from Richmond. Her father's silhouette appeared in the doorway.
Mama needs you downstairs on the double,
he said. Helen sat up.
Daddy, you gotta tell the men this ain't right. There ain't a Frankie. You gotta set this straight.
Her father wiped his nose with the back of his hand and inspected it. Helen's palm sweat. She reached into her dress pocket for the arrowhead, but it was gone. In its place was a cold, small ball, the size of a marble. She took it out of her pocket and saw a black pearl in its place. A spectrum of color like oil on water ran around its surface when she held it to the light.
Daddy!
She gasped. But he was gone. Helen's mother sat at the kitchen table, crouched over a notepad, scribbling with a short pencil. Stacks of yellowing photographs sat in piles around her.
Helen, come sit. We gotta make arrangements, and I'm not gonna do it on my own.
She looked up at Helen. Dark gray-purple bags hung over her eyes, and wild wisps of hair stuck out of her head, escaping her loose ponytail.
Mama, why are you doing this to me?
Helen cried. Her mother's face twisted in a scowl. She pointed to a chair.
Sit and shut your mouth.
Sniffling, Helen approached the table and sat. Her mother flipped through her notebook and ran her finger along a list of names.
Mr. and Mrs. Beaupré gotta come. I want to ask Mrs. Parker, but her son got himself up and killed by the Japanese himself, and she ain't been right since. Don't you go behaving like her.
Helen shook her head, confused.
And I got your Aunt Betty on the list, too.
Helen's heart sank.
Mama, we ain't got no Aunt Betty. I know you don't, but she adores you so. She's coming, and that's the end of it. She'll be happy to see you, despite it all. I've been going through these pictures, too.
Her mother picked up a photo and held it to her face.
19 years old,
she whispered.
What good is a hero if he's dead? All that's left is a flag and a grieving mother. Ain't no one supposed to outlive their son, Helen. That's not the natural order of things.
Helen shot up. She pounded her fists on the table.
Enough, enough! Mama, stop it! You're scaring me! I ain't got no aunt, and I ain't got no 19-year-old son! Why are you and Daddy doing this to me?
Helen's mother put the photo on the table and slid it towards her.
Take a look at that picture and tell me he ain't your son.
Helen gritted her teeth and took the picture. When she saw it, her blood went cold. In the photo, she saw herself as a little girl, her hair still curly, bouncing off her shoulders. She was sitting in the rocking chair on the front porch with a big smile, her 2 front teeth missing. In her arms was the figure of a grown man, swaddled tight in a baby's blanket. She cradled him like an infant. A greasy black film on the photo covered the man's face. Colors swirled over the black splotch like the pearl in her dress pocket. She touched the smudge with her pointer finger, and it stuck to her like hot tar. It was freezing cold, so cold it felt like it was burning her skin. Helen gasped. A hand grabbed her shoulder from behind. Her father glared at her with empty eyes.
There's a man here to see you. I invited him in, but he won't leave the porch. Don't keep him waiting.
Her father grabbed Helen under the arm and led her to the front door. He opened it and scooted her out with a not-too-gentle shove. Locusts bounced off the porch in the dark. The front lawn crawled with them, and black swarms spiraled in the air.
Goddamn bugs fixin' to eat everything in sight,
her father sighed. He turned, and the screen door wheezed shut behind him.
Suppose you're Frankie's mom,
a voice rasped from the end of the porch. A figure limped out of the shadows and came into view under the porch light. A disfigured man in military dress glared at her with one eye. His left pant leg was rolled up and pinned to his thigh where his leg had been amputated. The sleeve of his left arm was rolled up and pinned to his shoulder. He leaned on a crutch. The left side of his face was burnt away. Half his head was bald, and he had gauze wrapped around his forehead, covering his eye, where a dark splotch of blood seeped through.
Mind if I sit?
Helen swallowed hard and nodded. He took a seat on the rocking chair and let out a pained whimper as he settled in. He reached up to his breast pocket, moving a medal of a purple heart out of the way to pull out a pack of cigarettes. He tapped the pack against his bad thigh and in one swift movement shook it. A single cigarette popped out. He brought it to his twisted mouth and lit it with a Zippo. He took a drag.
I served with Frank. I was there when he died.
He said as he exhaled a plume of smoke. A pair of locusts landed on his shoulder above his missing arm. Neither did he swat them away. Helen swayed.
You ain't got nothing to say? Yeah, people I meet sure are quiet around me these days.
He let out a gravelly laugh.
There ain't no Frank.
Helen's voice quivered.
And if you fought with him like you said, there ain't no way you got back so quick. He only died a week ago. No way you got across the ocean so fast. And I ain't got a son. So you're mistaken, mister.
A locust landed on the man's chin and crawled up the gauze. It began gnawing on the bloody spot, covering his wounded eye. He took another drag of the cigarette as more locusts landed on his uniform.
I got something to say, Mrs. Walsh. And I ain't gonna say sorry if it's harsh.
He flicked the cigarette into the front yard. A dozen locusts jumped away as it smoldered in the grass.
Your yellow son got a lot of soldiers killed before he up and got killed himself. Old 101st got pinned down in a ditch. Bullets whizzing over our heads, blood, guts everywhere. We returned fire till he couldn't shoot no more. It was up to your little Frankie to run for a resupply.
A locust crawled down his arm onto his hand, finally resting on his finger. He brought it to his face and inspected it before blowing it away.
But Frank, he just sat there as they got closer and closer, frozen, tears running down his face. We were screaming at him to move, but he sat there crying like a baby. Goddamn coward, murmuring, Mama! 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 Over and over till a grenade landed in his lap. I'm telling you straight, Mrs. Walsh, I was happy to see that son of a bitch German grenade blow up in his lap before it blew me to pieces along with them. A long time I wish I'd died too. But here we are. I'm glad I can see the look on your face as I tell you who your son really was.
Helen stared at the ground. The air was filled with the low hum of locusts surrounding the house like fog.
Nuh-uh, Mrs. Walsh, look at me. I want you to remember this face when you think of your little Frankie.
Helen looked up.
I told you, I ain't got a son.
The man was nearly covered in locusts. He flicked another cigarette into his mouth and lit it with a deep drag. He smiled, revealing a missing bridge of teeth, and winked.
Explain who all those folks are.
The man exhaled and let out a raspy, satisfied laugh. Helen turned to face the front yard. A procession of men in black suits and women in black dresses, their faces hidden behind black veils, were approaching her house in single file. Locusts flew around them in the dark like a cyclone.
Denying your own son, huh?
the man laughed. He was standing, supporting himself with his crutch.
He wasn't no hero, remember that.
He took a step back and disappeared out of the light. Helen wrapped her arms around herself and took sharp, short breaths. She felt dizzy, and her vision tunneled as a cold hand rubbed her back. A man in a tattered black suit knelt beside her. The man had the nose of a pig. His hairy nostrils dripped with yellow goo, with small eyes set too closely together above it. His pink ears came to a point at the top, and saliva trickled from the corners of his mouth.
We're so sorry for your loss. It's truly a tragedy for a mother to lose her son. We need to put our faith in the Lord in trying times like these.
He grinned and leaned in for a lecherous hug when Helen violently shoved him away. The man snorted and stood up. He brushed locusts off his suit and scoffed. He shook his head and turned to join the endless procession of mourners. Helen spun away and jammed her hand in her dress pocket. She reached for the pearl, but her hands grazed over what felt like a dozen pebbles. She scooped some out and opened her hands. In her palms were handfuls of teeth with long, bloody roots. Helen screamed and dropped them onto the porch. They rattled across the wood. In an instant, a swarm of locusts descended and began devouring them. Helen cupped her hand over her mouth as she watched the locusts fight one another over the teeth.
Helen!
Shouted her father from the front lawn as he dragged a coffin across the dirt. Helen covered her ears and screamed as loud as she could. When she ran out of breath, she inhaled and screamed again. She cried out until she could taste blood in the back of her throat.
Helen! Helen, goddammit!
Her father cried out.
Give me a hand with this! Son of a bitch, ain't even my son, and here I am breaking my back.
An endless stream of mourners continued to file into the house holding candles. The line of people in black trailed into the horizon under the moonlight. Globes of candlelight trailed out into the distance, flickering in the clouds of locusts. A crowd of women, their faces hidden behind veils, began setting up flower arrangements on the porch around Helen. The locusts landed and began eating them as soon as the flowers were set down. An old woman came out with a photo display of Helen with the man, his face blotted out with dripping black tar in every one.
Have it your way,
her father shouted through the flying horde of bugs. He grabbed the casket and turned it over on its side. The hood opened and a large body swaddled in a blanket rolled out, its face covered. A gigantic swarm of bugs burst out of the casket. Far too many for the pine box to hold. They shot into the sky in an endless stream, fanning out before landing on the ground and eating the dead grass. Her father grabbed the swaddled body by its legs and dragged it to the porch steps. It writhed in the blanket.
Please have a seat, Helen.
Her mother's voice whispered over her shoulder. She was dressed in a long, flowing black dress like a wedding gown. She motioned with her arm to draw Helen's attention to an ornate gold throne on the porch. A gigantic crowd had gathered in the front yard. A set of elderly twins hung over the roof and peered onto the porch. Locusts landed on the mourners, eating away their clothes, stripping them naked.
It's time to say hello to your baby,
her mother said. She took Helen by the hand and led her to the chair. Her father pulled the swaddled body up to the porch, bouncing the man's head off the steps. Helen took a seat. Her father struggled with the body. The man with the pig face, naked from head to toe, came out of the crowd and helped him lift the body onto Helen's lap. Helen held the body close and shut her eyes.
Don't be afraid,
her mother said in an eerie, flat tone.
Get a look at your son.
The body writhed in the blanket. Helen slowly removed the cloth from his forehead. She pulled it down to reveal a head with arthropod eyes, dotted with an infinite fractal of hexagons reflecting the porch light. The monster had no nose, and pincers in the place of a mouth. It squirmed, its pincers flailing. Helen shrieked, and the mutant fell off her lap and onto the blanket. Before her was a man-sized locust. It spread its wings and slowly flapped them to wick off moisture. It raised its two back legs and furiously rubbed them together, emitting a deafening creaking noise. An odd hush fell over the crowd. One by one, the naked mourners fell to their knees. Women wept. Tears flowed from men's faces as they raised their nude arms to the heavens, enraptured. The mourners began to blow out the candles, their silhouettes blending into the fathomless swarm of locusts. Helen's mother came around the throne and placed the folded flag on Helen's lap.
"He's beautiful,"
she whispered to her daughter. The porch light above them popped, exploding into glass, and the prairie fell into darkness. The story must be told.
He was so
spooky. I like them when they're spooky. And then bugs.
Ooh, I got spooked.
Ooh, we're going to have to share a bed tonight. I'm not going to sleep.
Got them close.
Yeah. Wow. Wowee. Real good. So, about you guys taking my home.
Devin. Devin. Shut your coward mouth. Shh. We got a plan that benefits all of us, mister.
We are super excited about this. Check this out. Sister Callista, okay, she has a tot-sized tent that the kids won't be using since their camping trip got canceled. And I just bet, you could mostly fit in one of them.
Can I at least use the bathroom in the rectory?
Okay, one thing at a time here, pal. All right? Well, think about that.
Yeah. Happy trails, partner. You hear that? I call him
yeah,
partner.
I like the Wild West thing. It's
yeah,
fun.
I know. We should keep that up. It's fun.
Stick him up.
I'm a partner.
Just wait till they see what I'm capable of.
What was that?
I said, bait the seas and palpable stuff.
Yeah, because it sounded like you said, wait to see what I'm capable of.
Nuh-uh. Nope. Mm-mm.
So, now you're calling Pastor Andrew a liar?
No. That's not what I...
You just lost your tent privileges, a partner.
That's fair.
Happy trails, partner.
We need to write together. See my real face. The mask is coming off.
Thank you for listening to The Story Must Be Told, and I'm Worms. We're graciously hosted by The Last Podcast Network, www.lastpodcastnetwork.com. Squirm, squirm, I'm horny for dirt. Squish, squish. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at TSMBTpod. Join our Patreon at www.patreon.com/TSMBT for our exclusive bi-weekly podcast, The 522 Club. The clergy chat story with special guests. One congregant called it emotionally difficult to get through. There are other goodies for other tiers too. Ooh, I'm a worm and I'm food for birds. Squawk, squawk. Go to www.topetoco.com and find Story Must Be Told merch. Shirts, pro-proa mugs. I shit dirt and I eat dirt because I am a dirty worm. Worm, honk, honk. We'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new story, or next week with a brand new 522 Club if you're a chosen member of the flock. Oh, hey there, Mr. Cardinal. Gobble me up and bark me in your baby's throats. I want to be in bird guts. Hush, hush.
I knew how to be you. I knew how to live inside of your skin, Pigman. Pigman, I love you. I love you, Pigman. Pigman. Pigman.
The story must be told.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.